Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello and welcome in to another edition of the Hoosier Report. We do this show each weekday live at 11 a.m. and today is March 1st, so we have officially reached March Madness, the final week of the regular season of college basketball coming up. Indiana with an opportunity still, maybe a dim one, but they play at Michigan State on Tuesday, at Purdue on Saturday, to still get off the bubble and get in the NCAA tournament and, of course, the Big Ten tournament is just around the corner. And I think for a lot of listeners of this program here in Southern Indiana, the boys sectional tournament begins at most locations across the state on Tuesday and, of course, continues on Friday with semifinals and Saturday championship games across the area as well. And we've got big news coming from over the weekend from a high school perspective on the girls' side. Silver Creek is state champions. They beat a very good South Bend, Washington team on Saturday afternoon to claim their first ever girls' state title. And what a scene it was. And it's been all celebrations, as it should be, since that point on Saturday for the Dragons. Let's get into the show lineup today. A service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one coming up here in just a few moments. We'll have Scott Shane, the head coach of the Silver Creek Dragons, with us to talk about his state championship over the weekend. Also, later in the program, Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star will join. We'll talk IU basketball. What does this team have to do? Well, it's pretty obvious. They've got to win some games this week if they're going to have a chance at the NCAA tournament coming up here very soon, and we'll cover all of that and more with him. Also, senior night was Saturday afternoon in the Michigan game, and Al Durham was honored as a senior, which I guess tells us that he is coming leaving school, graduating at the conclusion of this academic year. Joey Brunk was not honored. Now, he's been out, he's been injured, but he's been at the games. Does that mean that he is back for a 6-year? He could be some much-needed height for this Indiana team next season if he does choose to return for a 6-year of college basketball for him. So we'll cover those things in addition to recapping the Michigan game, looking at the week ahead a lot today with Zach on IU basketball coming up in segment number two. And then later in the show, Chad Gilbert, the athletic director and coach at Charlestown High School, will be with us coming up here in just a bit, and we'll talk all about the boys' sectionals this week and do a lot more. So stay with us for that. Of course, action across the area, Borden to Seymour, 1A to 4A, coming up beginning Tuesday night. Lots of fun, many good games. Can't wait to be at Seymour on Tuesday night to see how things play out in those opening round games. And could be set for a big night of semifinals there. Of course, New Albany and could take on or will take on the winner of Seymour and Bedford. And then also coming up a little bit later in the week, we'll have Jeff and Floyd Central, possibly, if the Red Devils and the Highlanders, if the Red Devils advance from their Tuesday night game over Jennings County. We're still trying to connect with Coach Shane. We're going to head to a commercial break. Come back, we hope, with Scott Shane, the coach of the Silver Creek Lady Dragons. You're listening to a Monday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we've got Coach Shane with us after a quick early break to talk about the state championship for the Dragons on Saturday. Coach, welcome in. I know it's been a fun 48 hours or so since the Dragons were crowned 3A champions in Indianapolis. Congratulations.
Hey, man, thank you so much. Yeah, it's been a little bit of a whirlwind, Saturday night, able to go up and cut down nets, and then yesterday we did a huge celebration, but it's been a good whirlwind, but it's been a whirlwind.
Absolutely. I want to talk with you about all of the celebrations, but first I want to talk about the game itself a little bit. You guys got off to a good start. You led by 10 points at halftime, and clearly this South Bend Washington team has a lot of talent as well, and they're going to be good next year again. Lots of underclassmen play key roles on that team this season. They came back in the second half, and there were some very key moments, I thought, for your team to keep that game on your side, to keep you guys ahead in the win in the scoring column. And Jacqueline Emily, I'd like to start with her. She's a senior, and she's meant so much to your program now for a number of years. She didn't have a huge outpouring of points in the state championship game, but she had some key baskets, including a three-pointer that came late in the game, I thought, that was really big to keep the momentum on your side, or maybe more importantly, to kind of stop the momentum that South Bend Washington had.
Yeah, I thought Jacqueline played like a senior down the stretch. You know, she also had a big charge, you know, took a big charge and then had a big steal there in the last maybe minute and 15 of the game that kind of helped seal the game, or at least could help me relax a little bit. But she's been steady all year, you know, and offensively, she didn't have the greatest game, but that was a credit to South Bend, Washington. My hat's off to them and Coach Reynolds. I mean, golly, you know, they played that zone and had our offense pushed out so high, and they kind of was taking our three-point shot, and that's Jacqueline's game away. But I thought Jack stepped up really late and made some huge plays. And the three-point shot was, you know, I thought that was the shot of the game. There was two shots. I thought Marissa's baseline jumper, when she hit that, because we were struggling to score at that point, she hit the baseline jumper, and then Emmy Rooney sticks her nose in and gets a offensive rebound and kicks it out to Jack. And Jack does what she does. You know, she did her job, and her job is to knock down threes whenever we need her to knock down threes, and she knocked it down.
Talking to Scott Shane, coach of Silver Creek, they win the 3A girls state championship on Saturday. And next up, Gassaway. Someone told me she wasn't sure she wanted to play in college. My goodness, through your state tournament run, she's been really good. 18 points. She reached double figures when it came to her rebounds on Saturday as well. Is that true that she may not continue after this high school career?
Well, she had moments there where, when she came over here, she wasn't even going to play, really. I mean, she was coming and, you know, she just had some bad experiences with basketball, I guess, but I don't think that's true. She's got a lot of interest, you know, a lot of interest, especially after the shoot my phone on Monday blowing up about her, you know, and, yeah, it's good. And the kid is, I mean, she is a next-level basketball player. I mean, she's been very instrumental in our success, which was very evident with 18 points and I forgot 12 rebounds, something like that, rebounding the ball. But more importantly is just what I think people miss out on, and I don't think they miss out, is, man, defensively, she is such a good defender, you know, because she's not only, you know, 6'1", but she's athletic, she's long. She has a really good basketball IQ, you know, and that's the thing that the other part of her game that is kind of, people don't know is her basketball IQ on the floor. Good passer. But yeah, man, I thought she played phenomenal. We needed her to play phenomenal. You know, we were needing her. She had told me before we went to Indianapolis to play North Central in Westfield. And we were up there, and she didn't play very well up there, and she really didn't. And I really felt like if she would have played the way she was capable of playing, I think that, you know, we could have won those two games, even without Jacqueline. She didn't play very well, and she had told me that Saturday morning, she's like, Coach, man, I hope I don't suck like I did last time I was at Indy. And I said, Marissa, I hope you don't either.
But, yeah, she was fantastic.
You know, she went out and played great.
Absolutely. She was fantastic. There's no question about it. We could go through the entire roster. The Stryverson sisters were big once again on Saturday. Kennedy especially packed the stat sheet across the number of columns. And even Emmy Rooney, some baskets early on. She reached her scoring average, I think, in the first period to help get you guys off to a great start. All around, good team performance, I felt like, in the state championship victory on Saturday against South Bend, Washington. And I want to talk about the celebration. You cut the nets down. One moment, Coach, that stood out to me, and maybe it's because I've known you and your family for a number of years, but as we're sitting across the court from the broadcast booth watching things unfold with the celebration, obviously to see the girls excited and emotional was great for them, but to see you and your father, who came back after a great head coaching career at South Central where he made it to the state championship game in 1A, to see you guys embrace and have that moment and know that he was a key advisor for you on and off the court over the years was special, and I know it was for you and your family as well.
Oh, yeah. You know, the buzzer finally sounded, and, you know, you kind of sit there and you're trying to – really don't know what to do, honestly, you know, because it's the last game of the year. I mean, no, and so I'm sitting there and I turn and I look at Dad, and, you know, we both just kind of walked towards each other and hugged. And you know, to be able to share that with him, he called me this morning. We talk every day. Every day we talk. And he called me this morning. He said, Scott, I haven't had a chance tell you this, he said, because it's been crazy. He said, but I'm really proud of you. I'm proud of the way you coached this team. I'm proud of you know, how you handled this team. And you know, for a son, that means a lot. You know, my dad is he's going to be a Hall of Fame coach. You know, he's going to be a Hall of Fame coach. And I joke, I always tell him, I was like, he's like, you know, he's like, I'm like Richard Pitino. You know, everybody knows who Pops is. but you know, it was just a moment that I'll cherish. I'll hang on to it forever. With the chance to share, I mean, you know, the pinnacle of coaching high school basketball in Indiana with my dad, you know, it was really special.
Absolutely. Talking with Scott Shane, state championship coach Scott Shane, after the big win on Saturday. Tell us about the celebration. I saw some photos and some videos from a few different folks last night, but there was a socially distant, I might add, celebration that allowed the community and the families and many other supporters of this team to come together at Silver Creek High School and honor the girls in the way that they should be honored.
Yeah, no, exactly. You know, and that's the thing. That's been kind of the, you know, with COVID, it's kind of, you know, we haven't been able to be, you know, the celebration. You know, I was speaking to one of the teachers, and she's like, gosh, you know, when the boys won it, you know, we were walking down the hot hallways, high-fiving, everybody was here, you know, we got kids virtual, and so it's different. But I will tell you, Matt, man, there are three things that stick out to me that are memories for me. Number one is going to Banker's Life and getting the police escort, and those little motorcycle cops are just zipping through there, right? And I'm like, wow, this is crazy. You know, it's nuts. I was like, man, I would love to be doing that. And then number two was the dog pile when the buzzer sounded and looking those kids' face and just the excitement and the tears and just knowing that all that hard work, I mean, had actually paid off, you know, all the sacrifice. And the third one was, when we rolled through, got back from Indy, and we're rolling down through Sellersburg, all the people that came on the side of the road, I mean, it was ridiculous. We had the fire department from Elizabeth, Indiana, come up. You know, the Elizabeth Volunteer Fire Department. Thank God there wasn't a fire in Elizabeth because the only fire truck was up in Sellersburg. And, you know, but I mean, that, you know, just to watch all that stuff come together. And then we did a formal celebration, you know, just a formal one on last night, and to watch the community come out and just, I mean, you know, the gym was socially distanced, but there was, you know, a bunch of people there. I mean, I had ex-players there. We had ex-coaches, Coach Cook, Coach Chanley, you know, who've had great teams here. I mean, they've had great teams. You know, Coach Cook, you know, gosh, he had two Indiana All-Stars and great teams, but they were also going up against Abby Conklin at Charlestown, and you know, Kenitra Johnson was at New Albany back in the day, and then you had you know, Scottsburg squads that were always so good. And you know, I'm just a beneficiary of being at a great place that has really good basketball players, and the culture here was laid out a long time ago, And I just tried to help build that culture and continue to build on that culture that those coaches in the past had really laid the foundation for, and the other players. So this is really, you know, it was really just about all them. I mean, it was honestly a celebration for the accomplishment this team had, but also for those other teams, those past coaches that, you know, it was just great timing for us, you know, and those coaches that had great teams, you know, there was just some juggernauts out there that, or this may have been the third, you know, state title in girls basketball. I mean, but I'm just really happy for our girls, the community. I mean, golly, man, it was, I mean, to watch our girls get up there and talk about the season and watch the community just, you know, just blanking them and showering them with love was amazing.
Coach Shane, I'm curious, you win it. There's no higher accolade for you or your team to accomplish this season. You come home to all the celebration. I know there's going to be many more moments of celebration ahead as well, and rightfully so. But for the coach, the guy that likes to get in the gym and grind with his team, there are no more practices this week, and there will be no more games. And so often when you're a part of a championship team, and it's interesting to talk with state championship coaches, I think, about this, when you come back, it's excited and happy as you are. It's an odd feeling on this Monday to know you don't have to start preparing for the next opponent. You don't get to have practice today and share some of those moments with a team that collectively you just get used to.
Oh yeah, you know, you hit it on the head there, man. It was a sad. It was bittersweet. You know, no, I mean, no. We ended, you know, cutting down the nets, but you know, we had a moment in the locker room after, and it was sad. We shared tears and about. You know, we're not going to be together again. I mean, we'll be together, you know, as far as celebrations, but we're not going to walk on the court on Monday. There's no next day, you know, and that's kind of been what we were talking about going up into it, was what can we do to make sure that we're playing tomorrow, you know, and that was kind of what one of our things to keep us focused was, what can we do? What do we need to do to continue to play tomorrow? You know, and that was after we, you know, every sectional game, you know, every regional game, the semi-state game, you know, and then you say that in the state champ, well, you know, I said, hey, we've been doing everything we need to do to play tomorrow, and Saturday's our last tomorrow. That's it, you know, and so no regrets and go out there. But, you know, it is, because this group I have is a fun group, Matt. I mean, they're joking. They have fun. They're loose. But when it's time to tip the ball, they're ready to roll. Practices are serious. So I'm going to miss that. I mean, and it's hard. Now, practices never end. We got our youth league. You know, we got our youth stuff going. So I'll be back in the gym on Tuesday getting my fix, Tuesday and Thursday, with our sixth and seventh graders and eighth graders, you know, trying to, you know, because we don't want this to be just a flash in the pan, man. We want to, you know, we want to continue to ride this wave, and there's a lot of momentum here. I do know this much, and my wife stays. She comes, you know, this morning. I get up to go to school, and she goes, hey, she goes, you don't have practice today. She goes, I know that. She goes, you need to come home and clean up all this mess, all these notes you have written about all these teams. So I'm probably going to do a little housekeeping. That's what I'm going to have to be doing here in the next couple of days.
Absolutely. Well, Coach Shane, it's been terrific to see you guys have the success and for the community to come together the way they did. And we've enjoyed talking with your players the last few weeks on the preview shows we've put together. Not just great on the court, but you can tell great off the court by having a conversation with many of them here over the last few weeks. Congratulations on a great accomplishment. More to come, I know, as far as celebrations go. We look forward to staying in touch with you. But know there's a lot of people excited about the success, not just in Sellersburg either, but excited to see success here in Southern Indiana with your basketball club.
Yeah, Matt, and I appreciate you guys so much. It was nice to look. I know I didn't get a chance to get over there because it was so crazy on Saturday to get a chance to talk to you and Brian. But, you know, it was nice to look over and see a friendly face sitting over there across there, you know, and I've known your dad. You know, your dad was my fourth grade teacher, mm-hmm. And I know the Dennison family, and Brian, you know, Katie plays AAU ball with him, with my daughter, Emma. And, you know, it's in Southern Indiana, it's fun. You know, coaching is fun. I'm sure it's fun everywhere, but it's a little different, I guess. You know, it's different. And I appreciate that from you guys. You know, I appreciate the coverage that you give girls basketball and you give our program. And I just wanted that to be said, because you guys do such a great job covering Southern Indiana sports.
Thank you. Well, the pleasure was ours, and it was great. As I said, obviously we've known you for years, but to continue to follow you and also your girls, just amazing people off the court as well. So congratulations. Enjoy it. And we'll talk again very soon.
Hey, I appreciate you, Matt. Thank you, man.
Absolutely. Scott Shane, lots of celebrations continue in Sellersburg, and rightfully so. 3A state champions on the girls' side. We'll head to a quick commercial break. We're back with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star to talk about the big week ahead for this IU basketball team. They are fighting, trying to get in the NCAA tournament against some big opponents coming up. We'll talk about that next here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
After a loss on Saturday against very good Michigan, this Indiana team is fighting for its life as far as its NCAA tournament hopes go. And Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star is with us always on Mondays to start the week from a Hoosier perspective. And Zach, can you size things up for this Indiana team, what they need to do this week? And I think they've got some odds against them because I think they got to win both of these to have a serious chance to make the NCAA tournament, and both of them are on the road at Michigan State on Tuesday and then closing the regular season at rival Purdue on Saturday afternoon. What do you see with this team and their tournament hopes as they head into this final week of regular season play?
Yeah, I mean, they're not great. You know, I thought you were just going to change it up and have me size something else up. I go back to bracket matrix. I just like the aggregation. Indiana's the second team out of the field as of yesterday's aggregation in 35 of 100 brackets. You know, I think there have been times the last couple of years we've talked about bubble teams, particularly last year when I think a lot of Indiana fans maybe fretted around the bubble more than was necessary around this time in the season, where I said, you know, it's important to look around the bubble and remember that other teams are also on the bubble and other bubble teams are also going to lose, are also going to do things that maybe subtract from, you know, their NCAA tournament resume. So it's not just about what you do. It's also about kind of what does or doesn't happen around you. Indiana kind of feels like one of those other teams right now where, you know, maybe there's a bubble team out there, maybe a Seton Hall or a UConn, you know, fretting and thinking, do we have to get this? Do we have to get that? But you sort of remind them, hey, you know, the teams that are chasing them aren't in great shape either. Indiana's kind of one of those teams now. I do think, you know, tomorrow's game against Michigan State feels a little bit like a play-in game. I don't know if that's quite fair. And obviously both teams could go to Indianapolis and make some noise. You know, but if you're Indiana, you've got to be looking at this and saying that this Michigan State team is coming in off the back of playing basically in less than 2 weeks, five games. And they're going to be at home, and they beat you, and they, you know, frankly, embarrassed you a little bit in Bloomington with the way that game ended. But they're also tired, and I think you could see that in the loss against Maryland on the road last night or yesterday afternoon, whenever that was. And I think if you're Indiana, you've got to feel like you need to be able to, or you can, and you really need to be able to exploit Michigan State's fatigue a little bit at this point. Because this is very much sort of the game that when I say it's a playing game, it's two teams that are squarely on the bubble. It's not like one of them is probably in either way and one of them still needs some wins. You know, this is the kind of win that this time of year could just be one that unless Michigan comes back and beats Michigan or Michigan State comes back and beats Michigan later in the week or Indiana goes to Purdue and wins, then the loser here just kind of gets kicked off and they'd have to do a lot in Indianapolis to get back on. Even from that perspective, if I'm Indiana, I think you still need to look at that Purdue game as a potential must win. Now it is worth saying, you know, we're at a point right now where it seems very likely that Indiana is not going to fall into the bottom four. So they won't play on Wednesday. and they would likely open with Rutgers. I think at this point, I think that's the current scenario. They'd open with Rutgers in the 7-10 game on the Thursday. That being the case, if you're Indiana, if that was, you know, if 10 is kind of Indiana's floor, and listen, I recognize what I'm saying, all of this, that this doesn't make Indiana fans feel better. You know, that they're probably saying, well, why are we, you know, we should be wanting more out of it than just to try and squeeze in and leverage every possibility. I get that. I don't think that's at all unfair. But if you're Indiana, if your floor is 10, which it more or less looks like at this point in the Big Ten, you know, the final Big Ten standings, that means you're not going to get a game on the Wednesday that you would look at and say, you know, Indiana, there's not going to be a game there where you just sort of say, well, you don't get anything out of winning it, but you can't lose it. So every game Indiana could potentially play in Indianapolis would be an opportunity. But I'd also say, just broadly speaking, given the way that this season is going, I also just think Indiana needs to get some wins. Indiana needs to start feeling good about itself again, because at this point in time, you know, Indiana's concerns seem to extend beyond the schematic. And I think that it's the sort of thing that is going to be very difficult to fix in a short space of time. But at the same time, you know, finishing this week with a couple quality road wins, and Michigan State, it's worth saying at this point, Michigan State would be a quality road win because of what's changed for them in the last couple weeks, I think would do Indiana a world of good.
Zach Ostrom, the Indianapolis Star. I'm going to try to find some positives here, because the last few shows to close the week were really not positive when it came to discussion of this Indiana team, or even Archie Miller and what his future could be like in Bloomington. But from the game on Saturday, no surprise the Hoosiers lost. Obviously, Michigan looks like they're in the control seat, the driver's seat, as far as winning the conference championship in the Big Ten this year. But Al Durham was really one of the bright spots. I didn't think Indiana truly ever challenged Michigan in that game. But Durham, who I assume it's safe to believe that he's going to graduate and leave the program at the conclusion of this season, as he was recognized on Senior Day Saturday during that Michigan game, he is scratching and clawing and trying to do whatever he can to help this team be successful. And so if you're looking at guys that haven't given up, and if you're looking at guys that truly understand what possibilities are out there and what they've got to do on an individual basis to help the team, Al Durham falls squarely in that column. He is still battling for this team.
I think that's fair. I mean, he's shooting the ball better in Big Ten play, particularly from three, than he ever has at any point in his career. He's turning the ball over less often than at any point in his career. He's drawing more fouls and getting to the free throw line more often than in Big Ten play than he was earlier this, you know, in the season at large. You know, anecdotally, if you just look at some of his performances, he had, 24 in the win at Northwestern. He had 16 against Minnesota. As you say, sort of one of the few bright spots, not just against Michigan, but I would also argue against Rutgers, you know, 20 points in that game. A lot of them came quickly. He scored 14 pretty fast in that game. But still, it you do feel at least like, I think it's fair to say that you're getting some of the best of your senior guard and, at this, you know, the kind of the crucial juncture of the season. I also think you're right in saying that it does feel, based on, you know, I think when Greg Doyle asked him Saturday, you know, would he come back for another year, he just said, I have no answer for that. I think that between that and going through senior day, and it's worth saying, you know, Joey Brunk didn't go through senior day. And under normal circumstances, this would have been Joey Brunk's last season in college. So you do very much get the sense that, you know, that's a signal, as well as, you know, Durham's own kind of largely non-committal, you know, whatever you want to say, largely non-committal response. You do very much get the sense that that's kind of where this is, where this is headed for Indiana and for Durham. And of course, that he could graduate and transfer and use the extra year. He could, you know, just move on with his career, maybe explore a professional opportunity somewhere. But it does feel like that's likely kind of where
he's at this point.
Talking with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star, do we assume that Joey Brunk is coming back for a 6 year of college basketball? If he gets healthy, when he gets healthy, he wasn't recognized on senior day against Michigan. Thoughts on that? Because that could begin to change somewhat the outlook of next year's roster, especially when you look at it with the height and size that Indiana could lose this year. He would be a big piece if he came back for a final season.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're actually scheduled to talk to him later today, Joey Brunk, and that'll be the first time he's really talked all season, or at least since his back injury, you know, flared up in the preseason. I think, you know, without wanting to get too much into tea leaf reading, it does feel that way, that him not going through that senior day is a signal that he'd like to come back. I think it's, you know, I will say, without wanting to engage too much in speculation, that the vibe for a while has been that, you know, that he would be interested in exploring that. And I mean, I think Indiana could use him. I think Indiana really needs him right now, to be honest with you, and really has really needed him throughout Big Ten season. And I don't know if he'd necessarily be starting. I think the Race Thompson, Trace Jackson Davis front court has really sort of crystallized for Indiana into sort of a best first line, if you will. But I think the inability for Indiana both to rest those guys and also to play bigger, you know, and maybe put Jerome Hunter at the three a little bit more often than they've been able to, because at times I think some of Jerome Hunter's best games have come when he's been able to run at least a little bit at the three, at least not necessarily to say that he needs to play at the three and not the four to succeed. But I think that sometimes getting him some early minutes at the three helps kind of get him some cleaner looks from behind the three-point line, gets him a little bit more confident, you know, because either he's attacking offensively against maybe a bigger, slightly more slow-footed player, or he's able to really kind of move, you know, around the perimeter, those spaces that, you know, maybe a slower defender finds it harder to follow him, and he gets some clean looks and he gets a little confidence going. And then all of a sudden, you know, you've got a player who really is feeling good about kind of everything he's doing on the floor. And I think, you know, Indiana would be better if it could play Jerome Hunter at the three a little bit more and just have the ability to play both big and small. You know, I mean, Indiana's been able to play small all season. Obviously, that's impacted a little bit now by Armon Franklin's injury. But even with that, you know, you do see that you know, Anthony Leo can still come in and give you minutes. Obviously, Trey Galloway has been a pretty consistent rotation player this year. So Indiana can still go small when it needs to, still has a selection of maybe five guards for three spots. But it hasn't been able to go big. And that just is, you know, quite frankly, it's just really hurt. And it's maybe hurt lately in some games. When you look at, for example, the way Indiana struggled in the second half on the boards against Michigan State, the way that it felt like Indiana struggled on the boards against, you know, Rutgers and Michigan, maybe not over the entire game, but certainly kind of in key confined moments. When, you know, energy on the glass, energy in the rebound game wasn't there, and maybe it's because guys are just having to play too many minutes consecutively and they're worn down near the end of the season, so kind of that leap reaction time just isn't quite as sharp as it was earlier in the year. I think they've missed Joey Brunk for a while. I think they miss him now, and I think they also miss him. I think they literally just physically miss him now. I also think they miss what they would have gotten out of him over the last 2 or 3 months that would have made Indiana better in January and February and also made Indiana fresher in March. And I think that's something that gets lost a little bit sometimes with fans when they talk about, you know, effort and intensity and where did these things go that you had earlier in the season. Well, if you had a third true big to throw into that rotation and take some of the minutes and some of the wear and tear off, you know, off Trace Jackson Davis, then Indiana's probably a different team right now. Maybe they have a little bit more of that energy, a little bit more of that intensity, because sometimes the impact of a player being out is felt on a specific night or in an individual matchup. Sometimes it's felt in the cumulative impact of not having him over the course of a whole season.
Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star, IU basketball, the discussion. Zach, as always, thanks for the chat on this Monday. An interesting week ahead. We'll see how the Hoosiers fare and what's up for their postseason possibilities, I think, over these next few games. Thank you, Zach.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, as always.
No question. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Chad Gilbert. He's the athletic director at Charlestown High School, former coach in the area and current IHSAA executive board member as well. And as we head to break, we were talking with Scott Shane, the coach of Silver Creek, in segment number one. How about this? The 4A game on Saturday night, it was won by Crown Point. They are state champions in 4A. Guess who their only loss of the season is to? The Silver Creek Lady Dragons. Silver Creek was able to beat them back coming out of the holidays. That's this segment. We'll head to a break. Be back with our final segment. Chad Gilbert next. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
You know, a basketball hero around here is treated like a god.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
You know, most people would kill to be treated like a god just for a few moments.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Chad Gilbert, former coach, current IHSA Executive Board President, with me here as we close out our Monday program. Chad, it is March 1st on the calendar, and it is sectional week on the boys' side. And on top of all of that, we just closed out the girls' season with a state champion in Class 3A, the Silver Creek Dragons, and college hoops will be on wall-to-wall very soon. What a great time of year it is.
Matt, where do we start? I mean, my first thing is you got to think, bring them out, when you're thinking about Seymour up there with the announcer saying, here come the Red Devils, here come the Bulldogs. I think that puts goosebumps down anyone's spine who's ever been to Seymour for the sectional or any postseason play. With sectionals getting underway this week, it's a culmination and a celebration of we've made it. Well, let's take that back just a second. We've almost made it. We're not out of the blue yet. I mean, we are hosting at Charlestown. I'm nervous, Matt. I'm nervous that I'm going to have to stop the game and have fans spread out and social distance. You know, and that's the one thing that fans have to do. We've made it this far. Let's don't mess it up now. Do your job as a fan to allow these kids to play. Allow them to represent your community and allow them to finish the job of this whole thing that started a year ago.
You know, I said this on Saturday when we were in Indianapolis for the 3A state championship game. For all the times this season in the high school gym that I've said, boy, it sure feels weird in here without a normal crowd or without all the festivities that typically surround a high school basketball game. The weirdest moment maybe of the season was Saturday when we're preparing to go on the air 30 minutes in advance for pregame coverage, and you think, well, you know, maybe people are still filing in. There's a good number of Silver Creek people here. There's a handful of South Bend, Washington people here for this 3A game. And obviously the 4A, it's a separate session, so you won't have those people coming in to watch both games or to come early for their game. But I kept feeling like, okay, there's going to be more people here by the time this ball's thrown up in the air for tip-off. And it never happened. Each school had about 1,000 people there. There were some boxes, I understand, that were for sale as well, but you had to be limited in your capacity within those boxes. So you want to talk about something weird, playing in a professional stadium with no fans. And you know this Silver Creek community would have packed that place with every ticket they could have gotten their hands on for that normal session had it been 3A, 4A together at night. But, yeah, I think fans, kind of building up on what you said, have to remember as we go through postseason, you can't act the same. It's not going to be the same crowd. The traditions maybe you have after you win the sectional or win in the postseason and you cut the nets down and you're down hugging and kissing and cutting nets and celebrating together, that may not be able to happen in the normal sense. And when you go to the state finals, you'll really understand that. It's completely different. There's no question about it.
No, Matt, no question about it. And you hit the nail on the head. There may need a little bit of sacrifice here because things are getting better. 2 weeks ago, we were allowed 800. Now we're allowed 1,000 in our game. So who knows what Banker's Life, if these next month, Banker's Life's not until April 3rd. The finals are not a month and 2 days away. If we do our jobs, if parents do their job, if adults do their job, if students do their job, administrators do their job of making these people spread out, we may have a chance where instead of Banker's Life having 2,000, maybe there's 4,000, maybe there's 6,000, which will create, like you said, Matt, a little bit more normalcy. You know, our first game we were allowed on the boys' side, and we don't sell them out on the boys. Let's make no mistake about that. We had 264 people here. I felt like it was the finals of the regional just because we haven't had that many people in. So it's going to – the more you go, the more people going, the more it's going to feel more normal if we do our job.
Chad Gilbert, my guest. We're talking high school basketball this week. Chad, you've been a coach on the girls' side, won a state championship. You've had success on the boys' side in the tournament as well. As teams across Southern Indiana gather today for practice at the conclusion of school or e-learning or whatever their specific school is doing today, things just feel a little bit different when it's sectional week and that postseason is underway.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the girls first. You know, Scott Shane and the success of the Silver Creek Lady Dragons, they took on all comers. And like he's put out, they checked off all the boxes. The one thing, that it'll be weird. But I'm going to tell you, Scott Shane and those guys are going to be tired because that last month they have worked nonstop relentlessly on scouts, on preparations, on going out to dinners, on making the kids feel good. There's going to be some time here that's going to take them to regroup and revamp. They, you know, it was 10 years ago when we won it. And I can just think of the same things. You know, I text Scott and I said, you know, make sure that you do this right because there's no guarantee it's ever going to happen again. And the one thing, you know, I kind of went through the stuff that we did. The one thing that was really cool, I thought, was after every championship, the sectional, the regional, the semi-state, and the state, he and his coaches had a picture taken. You know, they acted goofy in the picture. I'm sure they had a great picture too. But those are things, you know, that's like, you know how I am, man. I don't like to get one up. I don't like to get beaten. I thought, man, he got me on that one. That's going to be special in his office to have those things out there going through. So, you know, I think that's really neat. And I think that's something that not a whole lot of people understand what goes into that. What a whole lot of people understand, not the X and O, not the players. It's the whole season. It's everything that's involved with it, whether it's the scheduling, massaging of egos, dealing with parents, making the kids feel good, ordering T-shirts, team dinners. You know, the list goes on and on and on. And for those guys to be able to finish the job, I think you got to give hats off to them. Because every team in the Mid-Southern Conference now, with Clarksville dropping out, has made it to the state finals. I think the only Silver Creek made the fourth team to finish the job. The ones who have finished are Silver Creek, Austin, Pekin, and Scottsburg. So, you know, to get there is one thing, which is no small task, but to finish it, that's a whole nother level. And, you know, congratulations to the Dragons on doing that.
Chad, let's talk about this week, though. Practices feel a little bit different going from the regular season to the postseason. As teams get ready for a game, maybe it's Tuesday night, maybe they're still unsure who they'll play until the Tuesday night round across the state is finished and they've got a bye for Friday's game. But things are just different for coaches and players and everybody this week, and I always felt like just things change, things feel different. There's just maybe a little bit of a sign of spring in the air, not completely yet, but getting some warm days and a little bit more sunshine, and that always told me it was time for sectional time.
And it does have that feel, Matt. And it's like you talked, like we talked about earlier with the girls. This starts. Everyone who's playing right now has a chance to win. You don't have to be the best team. You just have to be the best team on that night. Now, does that mean that there's only going to be four state champions, 1A, 2A, 3A, 4A? So there's only going to be those teams in advance. But you're wanting to enter this as a new season. You got your team meals this week. You got your get-togethers. You got everybody playing mind right to play good. You know, as far as the games go tomorrow, the hay's in the barn on that one. Today you're going to walk through, you're going to get some shooting in, and you're going to feel good. But like I said, the hardest part is going to be for those guys that it's over with. You know, I always said the hardest part of coaching was the first day it cuts and the last game of the season because, you know, either way, you're having to let some kids go that are really special to you and you spend a lot of time with, and they believed in you. And if you didn't, and the way I figured it is coaching, I only made it through and finished the deal. Everybody else, I kind of feel like whether we won a sectional, whether we won conference, whether we won 25 games, I feel like I let them down because we didn't get those rings. And I think every coach that's out there, they kind of feel that same way, but they still develop that special bond with those players, and that's what makes coaching special.
Chad, I've been asked by a few people, we'd like to know Coach Gilbert's prediction for the 4A sectional at Seymour. So take us through that bracket. What are your thoughts on semifinals and ultimately a championship game at Lloyd E. Scott Gymnasium?
You know, as we talked about it, Matt, it's going to come down to the three teams. It's going to come down to New Albany, Floyd, and Jeffersonville. Jeffersonville's been my dog from the get-go. I don't think anybody can beat them. I think that the only chance that you have is to keep that in a 40-point game. If you saw them against Castle, they found a way to win on the road at a tough spot. You're doing those types of things. Your mind's right. You're feeling right. You're going to come in. I think Jeffersonville's the head and shoulders. James County, if you'd asked me a couple weeks ago, have a shot? No, I don't see that. Seymour will make it tough. I think Seymour will win, and I think Seymour will make Jim Shannon grind it out. I think that Floyd Central is going to make Jeffersonville grind it out. Is Floyd capable of beating them? Absolutely. There's no question about that. They've got one of the best guards in the state. So there's going to be a lot of different styles of play, a lot of ways where the ball can bounce many different ways. And we've seen crazy things happen at Seymour, Matt. But at the end of the day, I think you're going to see New Albany Jeffersonville in the finals again, and the Devils bring it home.
Chad Gilbert, Charlestown AD, former coach, and currently the IHSA Executive Board President, my guest. Chad, this month means a lot of things. College hoops ramps up very soon. Obviously, the high school boys state tournament will play out over this month, and actually it's going to be a little different because it'll actually end in April, early April this year, because of a week off between the semi-state and the state final round. But, man, here in southern Indiana, with our love for local sports and high school basketball and, of course, whatever college team you follow, I know it's not been a normal year on the college level as well, with Louisville, Kentucky, and even Indiana all really down, especially the Cardinals and the Wildcats. But we're in for a great month, and for people that have just been born to love basketball, this is about as good as it gets. And finally, as you said, we're close to being there, not all the way there yet, but Chad, a fun month, and thanks for being with us here on Monday.
Matt, I appreciate the run. Thanks for everything you do for Southern Indiana sports, and thank you for being the voice of the basketball season this year.
Absolutely. Enjoyed it. That'll wrap things up for this Monday edition of the program. Back on Tuesday, more IU discussion and high school basketball talk. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.